All right, guys. Welcome back to the Rage Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we are here this week with our special guest, Mr. Josh Ross. Yeah.
What's going on?
What's up, brother? Thanks for coming out here.
This is cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry that we didn't give you more notice, but thanks for working around your schedule to get this rolled out.
No, I'm always, like I always said, you know, it's... I'm just happy to hang in. It's been a minute to catch up, so it's cool.
I know, dude. Yeah. That's what we've been chatting about this for a while, because you've been on Matt's podcast, but you've never been on ours.
Yes.
And I didn't really realize that you and Kurt like hadn't met.
Never.
No,
first time.
I feel like like I've seen him obviously at the rounds and stuff like that, yeah. But just not, yeah.
In never person. Like
so here we
extensively.
Are. Get to know each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be cute.
Well, you've been a busy boy this year, huh?
Yeah, it's... It's hit me in different ways. It's been really interesting just to be burnt out and see what that feels like,
yeah.
And see what it does to people around you.
Yeah.
Absolutely love what I do, and I'm very lucky to do what I do, but it's also, I'm now having moments of like, wow, this is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Just being gone. I think I'll literally be home. I've been home maybe 40 nights this year so
yeah.
far. But it's badass. So
yeah.
That's there's the other side of it. There's the shows and the adrenaline and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, great reasons to be away, but still away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, have a relationship, maintain a relationship. Family's the hardest thing. I just had my birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, bro.
Yeah. Just not getting to see everybody,
yeah.
You know, or like my nieces and nephews, I'll get like videos and they look like they've grown six yeah. inches. And I'm like, I haven't seen you since Christmas. This is too much,
man. So. I feel that too. Like, I haven't gotten back to Pittsburgh too much.
Mm-hmm.
Still a decent bit, like a few times a year, but not as much as I'd like to. Just
yeah.
with as many events as we have in town, and then
my gosh,
you know, yeah. we're at festivals too, not as extensively as you're on the
yeah.
road.
It's a full time. I mean, doing this,
yeah,
keeping up with everything. I think it's like just being on social media is a job on its own. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's a lot.
Have you noticed like even like your family members or extended family members like treating you differently now that your star's like kind of starting to rise?
I would like to say no, but yes.
Yeah, weird, right?
It is weird, and it's like, it's hard too. I couldn't imagine, like it's really hard when you get like, I want you guys to come to these shows and you invite them out, or you play like mm-hmm. a show close to home. Everybody comes and they still expect it to be like, and it's not their fault, but
yeah.
like how it used to be like, I would have all the time in the world to like hang out before mm-hmm. or after
yeah.
the show, see them, and then now it's like interviews, sound checks, media, VIP stuff, like whatever it is. And there's like some shows that I've had and I feel so horrible, but like I maybe get 5 minutes with my family,
yeah.
you know? And then, yeah, gone. It's definitely interesting. So that like there's balancing that. And then there's balancing the, you know, Uncle Josh is like the superstar to like my nieces and nephews. And
yeah.
it's like so funny. Cause me, I'm still like, I have so much work to do, but in their eyes, it's like, you've made it.
Yeah, know? You're George like, Strait or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I was George Strait.
Man, so. I think that's a big part of it too, because if you think about it, everyone else that's in your family probably has a more traditional job, you know?
Yeah, typical 9 to 5.
Right.
Literally probably thought this was a joke when I started it, which
yeah.
partially probably was.
Yeah.
You know, and then now it's turned into all this really awesome stuff. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So.
And man, you've been on some of the biggest tours around in the last like 12 months too. So
yeah, it's crazy. Freaking
Nickelback, Brantley Gilbert.
Dude, your little faves, huh?
Yeah, insane, man. And then straight from that to the Bailey stuff.
Yeah. I'm just like been so lucky. And again, it's like the conversation that I'm having right now is like, okay, like when's... I always say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's
I used to be that way.
Used to. And that's everybody I talk to says I used to be like that. And I'm like, okay, so is this like, I feel like lately I've started to be like, okay, I do need to take, you know, and the problem is like I'll come into town, I have 2 days off and I'm in town, but it's like I got to do laundry. I had to go get propane at Walmart today so I can cook tonight, you know,
yeah.
just stuff like that. And it's like, I don't even, by the time I get caught up at home, it's like I don't really have home time. So learning the power of no, I think is the new thing that I guess gonna try, you
yeah.
know, in my new birthday year, I guess.
Man, it's hard for sure. Like Kurt was really, really bad at that.
I'm still really bad at
Dude,
it.
Dude, it's so hard because like
it is. You don't want to disappoint people.
Or you miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like I always still like always get in my head like if I don't say yes to this right, imagine they write the next like huge thing, or I don't say
yeah.
yes to this show and I mean obviously the writing I still have that with the writing for sure. But yeah, just definitely learning to say no to certain things.
It's hard for me because it's like when I first moved to town and not having a job really, you know, it's like I was working in bars and stuff, and it's like when you need everything, now it's like I don't need everything. I don't need to go sub for someone or something.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I can't. Like, I just said yes to something today. You know, it's like, do I really need to go, you know, like, get home from the road?
You don't want to call this out right now.
Yeah, and then it's like, do I need to go and, like, practice 90 minutes worth of music to go sub for one show? And it's like, you know, it's like, or I could just sit at home and, like, do my laundry or, like, work out or...
Yeah.
Do the healthy things. That's what other things, like, dude, just learning to, like, somehow meal prep or, like eat healthy. Eating healthy is the hardest thing.
It is hard.
It's nicer when you have better catering. You know, when you're on the Nickelback tour.
Nickelback tour was incredible. Bailey's tour has been, you know, really, really awesome too. You know, so most of the festivals are pretty great, but there's definitely like our own stuff where it's like, you know, the budget's not there. So
yeah, club shows. It's like barbecue or burgers.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Every time.
Pizza after.
Dude, after show food, pizza. I'm like, sick.
You're like, cool again? Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. We're on show 55 this year? Awesome. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is good. At least they have stuff for you. They're doing their best, too.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I've been very lucky. I mean, but yeah, going back to last year, Nickelback was, like, the coolest thing I could have ever. So, like, kicking it off, everybody, like, jokes around in the management. They're like, your bar had been set so high of, like, what production looks like and backstage and catering that now everywhere you go, you're going to be like, I wish it was like Nickelback again, you know? So it's definitely been interesting.
Anything that you learned from Chad while you were out on the road with them? Or just like from their crew?
So much. I mean, just watching how they play a show, like as a band, that's probably the one thing I really learned. Because, you know, we'd be playing shows on, you know, we'd be in the middle of somewhere on like a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, the crowd's maybe not as into it as a Friday or Saturday. So like learning how they like work a crowd or... I learned a lot just that, you know, you have 20,000 people there, you know, maybe 5 or 7,000 are in for when you know, your set is, and most of them probably don't know who I am, and like learning to like make those, you know, new fans, that was a really, you know, huge learning curve. And then, Chad's been so, he's taught me when and not to party. I think that was like, I definitely learned the like, okay, we had a few days off. We can let loose. And then there's time where, I mean, I remember one time we did like 10 shows in 11 days.
Yeah.
Because we were bouncing off and trying to make more money doing like our own headlining stuff or radio shows. And last year was a lot too. So
yeah,
it's been cool.
It's wild.
I've gotten to hang with Chad a few times.
Yeah.
He's a great, I mean, one thing about Chad you don't realize is, because there's always like the Nickelback jokes and the blah, blah, blah. But like when you get in the room with a guy, he's just like really wise. He has this like.
Dude, he's got this memory. he'll tell you a story from like 2003 and exactly who's in the room and what they said and
crazy.
Yeah. And he also gives advice. He's like talking about vocal health. He's like, these are the scales I sing when I warm up. Always warm up and don't forget to cool down and don't forget to call home and don't forget to take care of yourself and work out and eat right and all this stuff like that. I'm like, damn, Chad Kroeger's like,
he's got it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just, we were on Luke's bus. This was 2018 or something. And he's just singing these scales. I'm like, this dude could sing, man.
Yeah, he could sing.
Like, that's, he's a thing. Student of his craft, the voice.
No, he's got an incredible voice and just powerful.
Mm-hmm. And he still has it.
Yeah. No, that's been watching the show. It's like, we were just in the UK and we got to see them in, where was it? Glasgow? I think we were in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Scotland.
Glasgow. Yeah.
Glasgow.
Hey, whatever you say. Yeah. I agree.
And, like, I swear they're like, even from like last year when we were on tour with him, I was like, they've gotten even better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool just to see, like you're saying, like vocal strength and just as a band, their strength. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. We got to see them, their at drummer Tailgate and so Tallboys, sick.
Yeah.
Like last year, like yeah, was their fun. First festival set.
Yeah.
And I guess they said like 10 years, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And then we got to see them when you guys played in Nashville and the set was like even tuned in more. So I assume like as you keep going and getting more reps, like, the band gets back in the sync.
The band is, their band's doing. In sync. They're doing just fine. So,
yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, and it was cool getting to see you open up for them too, man. Dude. Like,
what was that, Bridgestone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's like, that's what I mean. Like, this is my first tour I'm playing. You know, Bridgestone, it was a wild thing. And the biggest wild moment for me, or like, and that's what I learned, or the biggest, coolest moment for me is 2 days before we started that tour, I got a call from Chad. And he's like, we want to do a cover song every show with Brantley. What do you think of doing Copperhead Road? And for people that like know me, Steve Earle was like my largest influence.
Oh, cool.
Getting into country music and like that Guitar Town record and like Copperhead Road, like those are the first country songs I ever listened to.
Yeah.
So that was like such a weird, I was like, how did you pick that song? Like that was just a song you wanted to do. And it was so random.
Man.
So yeah, we got to play that for 51 shows with him, which was Crazy.
So cool.
Yeah. I love Brantley. I love his band. I love his crew also.
Brantley's incredible.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I really, really took away from Brantley is like how to treat your crew and your people, and his whole camp would die for Brantley.
Yeah.
Literally. Like they're a tight family. It's and honestly, you don't see that. Like I've been around a lot of different camps, and it's really interesting to see the ones that stick around and why they stick around. So
yeah, totally makes sense. Man, it's crazy to hear about that side of things, you know, from the fans' perspective. I just think about the show and how awesome it is and the pyro and all the fun stuff. But there's so much that goes into everything.
Yeah, no, it's cool. We all want to get to that level, though, where, you know, it's like they have nice buses and they can fly to here to there. And
well, and then you can take care of your people, too.
Exactly,
you
know? Yeah, like right now, I'm like, I swear, guys, I'm going to pay you better. Yeah. I promise. Please trust me and leave home for 250 days this year.
Jake, I promise you'll have money to spend in Cali sooner or later.
It's like you pick up a guitar because you're inspired by music and start writing songs. But at some point, you're an accountant and you're the CEO and your payroll and your logistics. And it's just like, and, you know, cinematographer for the TikToks and all
dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's freaking wild.
I just want to sing and play. You know, it's like, what do I got to do with all this other shit?
And that's the craziest thing. I think that's what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I quit football, I was like, I'm going to make all the decisions. I'm going to write songs. People are just going to love them. And it's going to be just me and music. And then you realize that, like, I have a way larger team now than I had on any sports.
Yeah.
And then you're right. It's like, I'm leaving here tonight and I got to go film TikToks because I have a song coming out and it's, you know, what does that look like? And doing the timeline, and it's like crazy. And then, the business side is just financials is cash flow, dude. It's wild.
And it's pressure, too, because it's like now you got your homies and your road family, and it's like, well, I got to play some gigs so I can keep money in their pocket more than yours, you know?
Keep it like players. Sometimes you'd be like, why are we doing these like one-off random shows or going to like the craziest routing? And it's like to pay, you know, for other shows and just be able to bring the guys, like bring them to the UK and lose $30,000, you know,
right.
It's those situations, really.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the new single before we get too deep in. Mm. So by the time this comes out, it'll have dropped.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us the title and
It's called New Me. Corey Crowder, Mason Thorley, and then Matt Drew, producer. And it was just us. Mason was super hungover, as Mason can be.
I've been super hungover with Mason before.
And I arrived to her right and had never written a wrote with Corey before. And I was like kind of concerned. I'm like, gosh, is Mason still like kind of like, you know, is he like buzzing a little too much for this write? You know, I was like kind of concerned about it. And we got in and we actually wrote one song first. And it went so well, like within an hour and a half, we had like a super solid song. And we're like, well, let's just write a second one. And I had this idea called New Me. But the hook was just like, ain't no new me. And we wrote that really quick. I tried to write it kind of about, you know, personal stuff that I had gone through and the expectations of, I always find it interesting, like when you meet somebody, and I think this happens often, we don't like to like admit it, but you meet somebody and you fall in love with them for certain reasons. And then it's like, you try to like, not change little things about them, but you're like, oh, maybe you party too much or you drink too much or, and you're like,
bro.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like the thing, like, and it's not like you probably just start to care about that person more, and it's like, hey, I want you to do these like good decisions for you. So I kind of wrote it about that, and just, you know, kind of more of my rebellious times of like, I want to go out and party, and I'm hopefully, you know, now turning that page a little bit.
Yeah,
I say that, but last night was rough.
Yeah.
Birthday celebrations, but no, it's just about that, and then the, you know, kind of just all the process of. Wishing that I would change, and there ain't no new me. I'm still who I am.
Yeah. Man, there's no one that can make you change except you. Right?
Totally.
And you have to want to, and then you have to want to always stay like that. Right?
That's And I'm such an extremist. Like I'm black or white. Like there's no, if I'm dieting, I'm dieting all the way and I'm losing 15 pounds and I will. And then all of a sudden I'll just go whoop back to not working out and, you know, on the road, busy drinking, whatever, tired. Mm-hmm. So right now me is just like finding that balance.
Yeah.
So that's been my biggest thing is like, maybe don't eat the late night food or, you know, eat something healthy and, or don't drink when it's not necessary kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's hard, man. It's like, this whole thing's a balance, right? I mean, same thing you're talking about with your time.
Yeah.
Balancing your time, balancing your decisions on food, alcohol, everything, man.
I mean, you guys got kind of similar, right? It's like nobody gives you a schedule and says, here's your 9 to 5.
No.
you're not home every night to make dinner. You're not, you know, you don't go like, okay, every morning I can get up at 7 o'clock and go work out and then go to work for nine. It's like, I don't know. I'm getting up for a flight tomorrow and then I'm gonna be gone for 2 days, 3 days, and I'm back for a day and then I'm gone for another 5 days. And it's like, there's zero.
Oh yeah. It's not
living out of and everybody like, here's the thing. Like, it is freaking awesome and I'm so happy, but there is no like grounding moments.
Yeah.
Like, you're just in a luggage full of dirty clothes.
Yeah. And then you wash them and you put the same clothes back in there.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm very blessed now, you know, obviously, you know, get gifts from like you guys where you got merch and all this stuff. And it's like, I have so much clothes now. Like, it's actually like disgusting. Like, I have to go through, but I still wear the same 7 shirts and jeans for every show. Yep.
So relatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, also, like, you're comfortable in that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when you sweat in it, how it looks. You know how it feels.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, like, totally. Why would you want to mess that up unless you're really got something you're...
committed.
Yeah, something you're loving. Mm-hmm.
My closet is, like, 70% raised rowdy.
No, I have tons.
Yeah.
Well, that's, like, Kurt, his closet. I'm like, I have way more clothes than you. He's like, I have a lot of clothes. I'm like, yeah.
Too many t-shirts.
Too many.
I just saw his hat now. Nash Pro Smoke.
Oh yeah, Crown Heads, man.
I mean, it's also a Metallica t-shirts, but I'm not getting rid of these though.
Yeah, you gotta keep all
tailgate
that.
Tall Boys repping.
Oh yeah,
it's good, dude. The boys. Wayne.
We're heading up there to Iowa,
dude. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be awesome.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I think we're direct to Bailey that day. Yeah, somebody was saying so.
It's be sick.
Is Bailey headlining the the festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Bailey.
How many people go to that one roughly?
I think they said like 20,000-25,000. I'm not sure what they're at sales wise, but it's a 3-day, so it's a big one, man. And Matt's gonna help MC.
Oh, dope.
So he's gonna be up there with DJ Clippy D, like in between.
Yeah.
Maybe not every set, but some of the sets.
Yeah, man.
And like talking about sponsors and stuff too.
That's so cool.
So I'm actually heading up. Matt's heading up early. He'll be there for the whole festival, and then I'm gonna get up there. I'm hosting an event in town for Sony on Thursday for CMA Fest.
Okay, yeah.
So I'll be heading up there literally as soon as the Sony event's That's over. Done. We're driving up to Iowa. The
CMA
fun
Fest
life.
Is, yeah, wild.
It's a short drive.
Yeah, 9.5. I'm very excited, though, about getting out of town for it.
Dude,
it's
crazy
as that sounds.
Yeah. Getting out of town's fun.
I think we've played with Luke. I think I've played one of these festivals. I don't think it was in Iowa, though. They do a few.
Illinois, Iowa, and then Michigan's the ones that we go to.
Yeah,
it probably was a while ago if you did.
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, man, we're super thankful for those guys. Like,
right.
Number one, giving us the opportunity to be on site at a big ass festival like that.
What was the one last? Yeah, the one last year.
Bloomington.
Yeah, that was great too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
And now we're you know, kind of getting to be a little bit more involved, which is amazing.
Dope.
Stuff that I mean, Matt's built to be on a mic. You know?
He's got a mic voice. Dude.
Yeah,
like, he's just
so I'm super excited.
He's got that boomy voice.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm super excited for him too, man. It's fun to watch things come and like, you know, he was killing it before we got together, but now I'm like, all right, let's
duo.
Let's start getting it rolling. Mm-hmm. Well, for me too, I'm like, I'm 42, you know, right. So I'm like, my window of time for that is a little bit less, but Matt's, you know, 29. He's still got a lot of years.
He's got some stuff going.
Yeah. Young buck.
Yeah.
Love him.
No, how old are you now?
Matt's the greatest. I'm approaching that 30 range.
Yeah.
Getting there, getting closer.
Hey,
yeah,
man,
dude.
That's how it goes.
Time to get a job, I guess.
Dude.
It's
tough.
I remember that, like, when I was 30, that was one of my favorite years, man.
I love turning 30.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like I'm in my 20s. But I have more money now.
Yeah.
It's like that's what some people say. They're like, oh, I still feel it. Like, I feel, you know, some of the people in the band and team, they're like, you know, in their mid-30s, and they're like, yeah, I feel like I'm still in my 20s. I just got money.
It's
dude.
Sick. I hope I have money.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, man, where nothing's ever what you think it is, right? So, like, you get
social
older.
Social media, yeah, everything, yeah.
Yeah, you just realize that, like, the only way to do it is how you think you should do it.
Exactly.
And the better you are to people, the better they'll be to you, you know?
Yeah, no, it's...
And you kind of get that more as you get older. As funny as it is, like, I always had day jobs until I moved to Nashville, right?
Right.
So, like, I would have, like, my creative time, and then I would have my, like, almost, like, transactional work time, where there's still creative stuff in it. But now one of the things for me is, like, being in the creative kind of headspace more often drains me.
Dude,
you know, so I can't imagine like being on the road and all doing writing when you're back in town.
Yeah,
you know, that creative thing, which seems like it would be easy, drains me in a different way.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole other the mind aspect of the business is
yeah.
probably the hardest part.
Yeah. Well, you have a great team, too, dude, behind you.
I'm so lucky.
Who's been there with multiple artists.
Yeah.
And
shout out to the core. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm very lucky. I mean, everybody, Kenzie, my day-to-day, Tracy, who also helps day-to-day stuff, and obviously having Chief and Simon just kind of overseeing everything that goes on. And dude, I 100% know I would not be where I am without them. And that's, again, like surrounding yourself around the people you believe in. And for a lot of years, I was like, why did I turn down this publishing deal? Why did I turn down this management thing? And, you know, really didn't know. Mm-hmm. They just didn't feel right. And I've been so lucky. I mean, and then it's just the opportunities that have come from it. It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's super cool. And then you with Universal in Canada and
Nashville. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I know there's not a lot of artists that are on both.
No, I was the first since Shania, which is really, really
crazy,
cool.
Man.
Yeah. It's wild. So let's just I'll keep putting that out in the atmosphere. I'll take a career like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And run with it. So that'd be nice.
We had Jade Eagleson on the pod and he had Shania shirt on. We love him. He's great, man.
He's a boy.
Jade's gentleman and a scholar and was a lot rowdier in his younger days.
He was, dude.
Now that he has kids.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of has quit drinking. He's settled down.
I've had some nights with Jade back in the day. Oh, my gosh.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah. I always just remember, like, listening to, I can't say, but he's just. The end of the night was always funny having conversation with him.
Yeah.
He's a good. You're like, what are you saying? So, that was good.
It's always a challenge, you know, like, but, you know, it's cool to see him like really buckle down and commit to being a family man. And
dude,
like,
incredible. I can't wait for that. I mean, that's a really cool, it's so many different avenues you can take, you know, and I always like wonder, like, cause you know, I'm still like trying to figure out that part of my life and relationships and I do want to have kids and all that stuff, but it's like, now is definitely not the time.
Yeah.
But like, when is, you know, how does that work?
I think it's like,
then sometimes it just happens, like, you know, not saying like mistakes happen, but like,
yeah, I don't think there's a necessarily a perfect time.
No.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I do not. No.
No.
Yeah. Man, it's I've been an uncle since I was like 3. So I've seen my sister was pregnant when she was 18. So I've seen it every age, shape and form. Like my friend Megan, who's like one of my best friends, was pregnant in high school.
Wow. You know? Yeah. No, my brother and sister are 10, 12 years older. So I've always, you know, had nieces and nephews and it's awesome, dude. I mean, that's a whole other job and a really cool job. It's just you got to be committed to that job to do it.
Yeah.
So
it's funny. Like my brother, Steve, is my oldest brother. But he got married later in life and had a son.
Right.
And he's like, man, I hope one day you get to experience this. He's like, it's my favorite thing I've ever done. You know?
Aww.
And I think it just like, yeah, my brother was like super reckless. I mean, he was like not, you know, it'd be like, what would happen if, and then he, you know, he had my first nephew riding and changed him. Like, I was like, what happened to my brother?
Yeah.
In a great way, though.
It's crazy how that happens, right?
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now we're sitting here talking about kids. We can change the subject.
No. we're all like,
I'm like, not putting that energy out into the world right now.
Trying to keep those away.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, okay, so you got a bunch of festivals coming up, too. I saw you're on Country Thunder as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to be doing a bunch of festivals. You got some more Canada dates and then a few more Bailey dates on the books as well.
Bailey, we got Luke Bryan, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, cool. Sick.
I think we got 7 or 8 with him.
So is that the farm tour ones or is that like more?
His actual.
Not right, gotcha.
Yeah. So I think we got some dates in like LA way and then some Florida dates. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Dude, I mean,
he seems like a great dude.
Everybody says he's awesome.
Some of my first shows that I was ever in the pit were Luke Bryan shows.
No way.
He's just such an entertainer, man.
So you know Boots and Hearts in Canada?
Yeah.
That was like the first festival I ever played as like an emerging artist showcase thing.
Yeah.
And I took a video one morning backstage, and like a selfie, and I walked right up to Luke Bryan and Brett Eldridge. And I was like, I don't even know what I asked. I said, hey, can I take a story with you guys? And I did. This is 2017, so it's like fast forward, and then now like I'm opening. It's just like very cool. So
cool.
Yeah, I got to show him the video.
You will have to do that and recreate it.
Yeah,
literally. And, like, stitch it with yourself or something. Yeah. You know?
Do you find that like when you open for different artists that you tailor your set to match their fan base more? Like, are you rocking it up more for Nickelback and more country for Luke?
I mean, Ain't Doing Jack, which was a song that I mean I wrote just for the Nickelback tour. Mm-hmm. I thought I wanted something, and then it ended up being, you know, a song that's done really well for me and streams really well and had radio success too. And But yeah, definitely. I think I have like my core songs that like, you know, The Trouble That Will Always Be and that and yeah. Single Again, stuff like that. And then depending if I'm like picking between certain songs, I definitely judge, you know, the crowds, whether it's Bailey stuff where it's like, you know, it's a younger crowd, maybe more my age or younger.
Yeah.
And then the Luke Bryan, which is, I mean, touches everybody. So
yeah.
I found like when I played for Michael Ray and we were on tour at Brantley, the set would be rocked up. It was a lot more like the down parts were, you know, more.
Yeah.
Heavier and yeah. And then when we toured with Darius, it was like trying to keep the party going, more fun vibes, right. I think.
Yeah.
You know, not like huge things, but like maybe the set list is different songs and the, you know,
transitions and all that
stuff is like we play the songs a little differently,
like intros and exits and all that.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely do that. Yeah. And just keeps it interesting. Like I'm always like somebody that's like, let's switch the order of the set, or like at Stagecoach, we played two shows and it was like, let's not play the same songs. Let's put them in different order.
Mm-hmm.
How was Stagecoach, by the way? I've never been out there.
Dude, it was wild. It's really, as you guys know, country music's in a really interesting place.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. Yeah. It's also just interesting to watch what's happening.
Yeah.
I think for the first time, I really realized that country music is a lot larger than just country music.
Oh, yeah.
At Stagecoach. And, you know, there's a lot of people from the pop world there and actors and
Flavor models Town. And
all. Yeah, it was crazy. Like it was really cool. Like I mean, I always hope that, you know, country music keeps its like traditional roots, you know, to a way, and I think it always will. But it is also really exciting to see, you know, a lot of these collabs are happening, you know, and things that I'm even looking at for down the road. So I'm just really excited to see all that too.
It's wild, man. Like I was listening to a TikTok of like Lana Del Rey talking to, because she had like announced that she was gonna kind of do a country project.
Yeah.
And then she was like, "Well, now that everyone's doing it, I don't know." Yeah. You know.
Yeah, so I got to meet her. That was really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's awesome. super cool. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm always so funny because people are like, pushing in for photos with people and all that. And I'm just like, I'm somebody just like, hey, I just want to say hi. It's really nice to meet you. And
yeah.
I ended up getting some photos with her. She actually like pretend took our group shot with us, like our pre-show shot.
Oh yeah.
But she was really awesome.
That's
and
awesome.
Like was like, if there was something to say, like really down to earth, like I wanted to talk about how I was feeling before I was going on stage and how she still gets like, you know, maybe a little nervous and stuff like that. Yeah. But really cool. She was really nice.
Anyone else that you've like ran into that has been crazy or just like a pinch me moment with that?
Dude, not really. It's crazy music. I don't like have like, I've always said, like, people always say, like, idols in music. Like, I guess these people I admire, like the George Straits and, like, people like that. Like, those are moments where I was like, oh, wow, that's George Strait. Or, like, getting to say hello to certain people. And,
yep.
But I've never been somebody, like, fan boyed, girled over artists. It's kind of interesting.
I've only ever, like, freaked out a few times. Like, when I met Eric Church the first time.
I love his story.
I totally knew that I was going to meet him.
Right.
It was, like, a meet and greet line at a show during CMA Festival one year. And I was like, I had this thing in my head, and I just
so
like,
was this before you were doing like,
oh yeah,
yeah. Before so you're as a fan, you're just a fan.
Yeah, just a dude that loves music and loves Eric Church. And I was in his fan club, and I applied to a fan club show during CMA Fest, and I won. It was just me, none of my friends.
Oh dang!
You only won one ticket, so I went, and I just like had just brain garbage came out as soon as I talked, and I was just like a Cro-Magnon man.
What would you say to him,
bro? I don't even remember. I like went blank. I was just like, I really like your music, you know. Like, just true. The dumbest stuff ever.
He's like, are you gonna touch me? What's gonna happen?
He's like, thanks, man.
I actually, I just
security.
Yeah.
I went to Eric's like thing. What's it? What would you call residency or whatever?
Yeah, residency at the new bar.
Buddies that went. They said it was like so cool.
It was fucking awesome. But I met him, said hey to him, and he hit me with the big dog, like the from the Tiger Woods meme or whatever. I was like, cool, I'll take that.
Dang, dude.
Hey, Big Dog.
Hey, he's always been one of those ones that I've idolized.
Yeah.
Probably most cover songs I ever learned were his songs.
Yeah, makes sense, man. He has so many heaters and so well-loved in the music world. There's not many people, even if they don't love country, that are like, F Eric Church.
It's also just cool to see a career where like it wasn't based off of like streams or TikTok or radio success.
Yeah.
Like you have some artists that have like 10 number ones.
Yeah.
And can't go sell out an arena or stadium, and he's got 4, or somewhere around
there. But his album sales did well,
yeah. But he's got like that cult following of people that are just like, doesn't matter where he goes, people are there. So
dude, the church choir is nuts.
Yeah,
like they're one of the most diehard groups ever.
So
it's
cool,
wild.
And that's what you really want,
because
like you know that like, whether radio stuff happens or not, or like you get certain playlisting or not. It doesn't matter. You got fans.
Yeah. He'll be able to tour forever.
Ass in seats.
Yeah.
And there's less pressure to put out like radio friendly music. You can put out whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. And yeah. your fans are going
to
love it.
That's why his writing's like so cool. So, yeah. No, yeah. no. Shout out to Eric Church. I'm always, always a fan. Yeah.
I've always said about Eric, I was like, it seems like he is way more interested in if he can move the needle 1%
right.
than he is if he has hits. You know, and those would come, and he has those. But I just feel like he's really trying to, like, kind of move the needle a little bit with what stuff that he's yeah. been doing.
I mean, I remember seeing him probably 5 years ago when it was, like, no opening act. It was just his set, 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, and was that the Double Down tour?
Dude, yeah. It was wild.
Yeah. I got to see in Pittsburgh. It was, like, kind of, like, right after COVID, and his band was sick. So I got to see a show where it was just him and, like, one or two other That's guys, cool. mostly him solo the whole night on a long show like that. It was wild.
Yeah, no, he's cool.
It was one of those like moments where it's like the world you just feel like is lining up for you, even though it had nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Has he ever won Entertainer of the Year?
I think he has. It's at one of the award shows for sure. I'm not sure of
one,
which
one. One of the award shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I love award shows. They're fun and like the performances of them I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But the voting stuff's like
it's interesting, man.
It's tough, man. Because it's like once you see that everyone is, you get an email from a record label or your publishing company or your management company and says, hey, we would love if you guys voted this way.
Yes.
You know, we're not telling you have to, but we would absolutely
love. Here's what we
love.
Did. Here's what we did.
Yeah. And it's a, it's crazy too. Like you would think it would be like fan related or stat you related. Have those votes plus you like factor
stats.
In streams
just actual
or like
stats.
Whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like the fact that Wallen hasn't won anything since all of that stuff went down. But if you talk to the fans, he would be like, he would win a lot of awards.
Dude, I just keep my mouth shut with all this stuff. I'm just sitting here being like,
you're good, bro.
It's hard, man. It's just like, again, it's like, you know, sometimes you just can't understand why certain people pick certain things. And it's just, again, Eric Church can go play any of these things. And some of these artists that are winning year after year awards can't. And I guess that's okay.
Yeah,
I
mean, it is. And honestly, I think
I would love to win an award, but if I don't, then hopefully I have fans at shows, and that's all that matters. So
at the end of the day, the people showing up, paying music, and singing along is so much more than that. And honestly, for me, I think it's a bigger thing if you have like a cool performance than it is even winning the award.
That was like that's my favorite part. Yeah. I love just like hearing, you know, the vocal live. And I think that's always interesting just to see how it goes. And
Well, like, and the
here's how the record goes.
Cool,
collaborations and just like actually hearing somebody perform.
Yeah.
And TV performances are really hard.
They are.
Look, I've had to do two, luckily, you know, because of Canada stuff. And dude, it's the toughest thing is live TV, like in regards to your vocal.
Especially when it's 8 a.m. or you're playing Good Morning America or something. It's like,
yeah, that's tough. Tough
crazy.
Tough. Yeah.
Is there an artist, because we're talking about the pop stuff, that you would like to collab with that's not in the country realm?
Yeah. I mean, there's somebody I can show you after this. I can't say it yet.
Okay.
I mean, definitely, I've always been, I guess he's pop. I mean, Louis Capaldi I've always been a huge fan of.
Sure.
It takes me back to like First Taste of Gone, like Piano Ballad.
Yeah.
Matching Tattoos. He's always really inspired me in regards to like just raw writing and like powerful vocal.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to like Chad, like the way he sings too. And just strong. And that's what I've always like really tried to like work towards or train towards or get better at.
Yeah.
It's just being a like strong vocalist.
Yeah.
And he's just so cool like that. And then on the female side, probably, you know, like Halsey would be really cool. Or I've always just loved her voice. I always thought they'd be like really cool together. Like my voice and hers. And then, you know, to some, like there's so many people from Canada crushing it in the pop world.
Yeah.
Like you got the Tate McRae, which would be like super cool. You got the Justin Bieber's, the Weeknd's, Drake's, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's like, so it's about time for country folk to do what everybody else has done.
Yeah,
there.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'm excited.
Tap into that.
Yeah,
man. I know like the Canada thing's wild, but for me, like having worked at Big Loud, they had a division that did Canada.
I always forget you worked at Big Loud.
Yeah, yeah. I had to. So you got to kind of see the power of that.
Yeah.
And you Canadian country radio, man.
Dude, it's a whole thing.
It is a whole thing, and it's like, it's interesting to have that, but it is freaking powerful.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm very blessed. It took me, I kind of did things in such a reverse order. Yeah. You know, like I left Canada before I had anything going on there. I had more going on here in regards to streams and like the Tall Boys era and all that kind of stuff. And it took a minute for like Canada to kind of like, oh, he's Canadian. Oh, we love him, you know, and then like kind of catch up and radio stuff now. And I'm very blessed that, you know, we've been able to go sell some of these venues, like 2,500 tickets and go play. And
so cool.
Yeah. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's very cool. So, you know, very, very lucky for Canada and to see that that market's growing. It's by far the most popular, you know, genre in Canada.
Yeah.
And then we're just, like I said, we were just in the UK and now seeing that that's happening there too.
Yeah.
Like with their own radio and there's a huge market for it. Like we were playing, Brett Young, I think, did like two nights, 5,500 people in the UK. And then they love them over there. And it's so cool to see that like country music's got its spot in the UK and starting out there, you know?
Yeah. It's not just country.
Even in like in Ireland, we were in Ireland too. The end of the tour, and that was so much fun. But yeah,
I love it there. Yeah, dude. So much fun, dude.
Dude, wild. The greatest people. That was probably my favorite show. Was in Dublin.
Really?
Yeah, that was great.
How many cap like around?
With the Bailey stuff, I think they were anywhere from like 800 to like 1,800.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little smaller than we were doing in the U.S. But you know, it's really been interesting to see with his career too. It's like you book these things a year out, then he's had two or three number one since then, and all these different things. Wild.
So. You got to put the work in over there and UK and Australia, at least from, you know, what Cappy said with Luke and everything. Yeah. It's like, maybe you don't make money the first time you go, but you're planting the seeds. And the next time you go, you're not playing 800 cap. You're playing, you know, 2,500 and then eventually arenas and stadiums. And
I know like overseas too, there's a big rock scene as well. Mm-hmm. So like the stuff that's more rock leading sometimes gets picked up. Like I remember the Cadillac 3 heading overseas and
we were like kind of doing the same.
They just got back.
Yeah. We were literally trailing behind them the entire time we were there. So
crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And they're doing like great venues. Awesome. Yeah. So very cool.
It's nuts to see. I mean, of course there's cultural differences in every place you are, all around the country, all around every country. But it's so cool to see that the music that we love and that we think of when you think of this area is so not just nationally present, but around the world.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Country music's in a, again, very cool spot.
It is. So. It's a crazy thing. And it's one of those things, too, where you think about it and you're like, man, this ain't country music. You know, you have people say that.
Yeah. I mean, I get that about my own stuff. It's like, sure, to a degree. If you're like listening to George Strait, it's not.
And, but the genre is big enough where that can be side by side, right?
That's like I go get asked about like say the Shaboozy stuff that's going on, and I'm like, but that's also a guy that's been busting his ass for a long time, and I'm a fan of his songs. I think it's great.
I'm like, this is good music. I don't care what you call it, or what station you play it on, or what playlist it's on.
Totally.
If you enjoy the music, you should like it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a reason why it's streaming so well.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, like the stuff, traditional stuff has like a place in my heart where I love it and I'll go back and listen to it. But I also listen to all of the newest stuff that is the seemingly poppiest.
Yeah.
And like everyone always used to make fun of Florida Georgia Line, and I probably did too when I was younger, you know. Yeah. But I also took a bus every year to the FGL show.
Yeah.
With all of my friends.
There's a band that had like what, a 10-year run of just crushing it.
Yeah.
Just like hits.
One had all of the hits, plus had just the entire crowd in the palm of their hands, partying their faces off.
Pretty good spot to be in.
Those are the good old days.
Miss You Fireball.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. R.I.P. Old Camp, too.
As he just like got drinks sitting here.
Surfside.
We're not indulging.
No, we're being good boys today.
I have a bottle of Old Camp at my house. Half drunk.
Vintage.
Yeah, and so if anyone wants to make me an offer, you know, no low balls.
Biz going up.
Yeah. I think it's like peach pecan or something.
Peach pecan. Keep it for like another 10 years.
Yeah. The peach pecan is like syrupy, but like pretty delicious.
Yeah.
It'll get you drunk.
Yeah.
FGL is gone, right? The bar?
Bar's gone.
Lainey Wilson.
Lainey. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. That's like, I mean, it's funny. Like, Kurt and I were actually talking about having like BK on the pod.
Yeah.
And I was like, wouldn't it be funny if we just like had them back to back and like didn't tell each other?
And Tyler.
Had Tyler.
And like they're walking out and I'm like, oh, hey guys, sorry. Maybe it's you like, guys should get back together and play a show. Yeah. Let's do it.
But no, of course we didn't do it. We were just joking. But then the stuff with Bustle with the Boys where they kind of had them back to back talking about the story is nuts.
Dude. Yeah. Crazy. They had a crazy career. Crazy run.
Oh, absolutely, awesome. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song, Dirt. That was my favorite. FGL.
Dirt's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First two records were just like tailgate anthems.
Yeah, you know, it was just smashes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joey.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Producing all that stuff. Yeah. Like,
making hit records for like
Nickelback country music.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's funny. I remember we were chatting with him like before I worked there, and we were just talking about like he's making music for the working class, and that used to be rock music, and then it kind of turned into country.
Yeah.
So it just it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's wild.
Who was your producer?
Matt Drew.
Yeah.
Same guy I've used since First Days of Gone, I think it was, or Before I Loved You. It was like the first song. So going on 3 years, and just a dude I love, understands me.
Yeah.
We have kind of our own like process and language, how we, you know, speak and get stuff done. And it's not for everybody. He literally will beat the crap out of me in the studio, but I love it. He makes me better. I've been very blessed, you know, with having both Universals. Nobody's ever been like, hey, you need to switch producers, or they've been like, as long as it's working, we'll stick. So it's been great.
I mean, that's a smart way to do it too. It's like, if it's not broken, no need to fix it.
It's like people sign these deals and they change the producer, they change who they're writing with, you know, and then it's like, what happened?
You know? You have a good crew, like homies, Mason being one of them.
Yeah, dude, he's the OG. He's probably like the third person I ever met in town. And
well, that's how I met you, was over at Rob's house. You were with Mason, I think.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Football.
Crazy. That's how it works. Over at Rob Williford's.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, right on. I saw Mason. I was looking up the credits on your records to see who you're working with. I saw his name as a writer pop up like a dozen times.
I'd say he's got 95% of my songs. Yeah.
That's sick.
I do feel bad, you know, just with being gone, and we don't get to write near as much. And, and obviously, like, they put you in the rooms with, like, all these crazy...
Songwriters,
hit writers, and it's just, you know, you got to say yes to those opportunities, but then also I got to find time to like write with Mason and the people that, you know,
your homies.
Yeah, dude,
it's a same thing, man. It's a balance.
We talked about it. Yeah, it's like us hanging. It's like you can't forget, because it's also just like, how much time do you have to like see friends that are actually your friends, but then you have like music friends that are just like your friends because it's music.
Yeah,
and then you have like the people you hire, and then. Yeah, it's interesting balance.
You know?
Life not enough hours in the day sometimes.
And then it's everything too, where it's like, all right, you're not happy all the time, but you're not sad all the time either. So like, what of your time does the people closest to you get?
Yeah.
Sometimes they take the brunt of it.
Dude, you know? Yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's how life works.
It's like, and the worst is like you're saying about family, and it's like, how are they? And it's like, my mom will call, and I love my mom so much.
Yeah.
But then she'll be like, so what's going on? And the last thing I want to do is like give a rerun of the shows and like keep on talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing, is just like, again, having respect that like they're excited about things. So like, you know.
Man, I've been struggling with that a little bit too, a little bit different, but like every time I talk to everyone, all they want to hear about is Raise Rowdy.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have a few people that's not like that.
Yeah.
But
hang
it's
on to those
tough.
People.
Yeah.
It's just me and Matt.
Yeah.
You guys
and my mom.
Here.
Yeah. But it's tough, man, because it is like you're telling the same stories over and over and over again, right? Or you're being asked the same questions over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's challenging.
You become a robot.
Yeah. It's hard. But at the same time, it is nice to have a few canned statements that I could pop out to someone that really doesn't care about what I'm saying, that I can like kind of roll out and say, here's the stuff I'm going to say.
This
and
actually,
if you really want to learn anything, come deeper than that.
Yeah.
I've not really been drinking either. I haven't got drunk since December.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. One of the last times I was drunk was I saw you at the bar at Red Door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I probably don't remember.
Yeah. Well, it was December and it was aggressive. You were with Chief. We did some root beer float shots.
Oh, okay. Then I probably was all right. As long as he was around, I was probably okay.
Yeah, you were fine.
I thought you were going to talk about back in the day.
Oh, no. We did that a good bit.
We'll leave those stories untold.
Yeah.
This is why our podcast studio isn't in Midtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah.
That's like when I used to live at like that Novel Edge Hill building.
Yeah.
It'd be like, somebody would be at Red Door and they're like, hey, come over here for a quick drink. And you're like 4 minutes away.
Yeah.
You're like, how do I know?
So easy.
I lived right behind Losers
in
the condo there. Yeah. When I first moved the town. So I could like throw a football and hit Losers and walk to Red Door.
So crazy.
Burning it down.
Yeah.
Bad.
That's an aggressive
expensive
place to live. Yes. You would think like, oh, I can walk everywhere and don't need Ubers.
No, dude.
Yes. But you can go to the bar for an hour
blow
any day
all your
of the
money
week. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time I ever went to Red Door, I was living in Boston. I was just visiting Nashville, And I ordered a Bud Heavy, and they were like $2. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Beers are only $2? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, let me get two.
And your bill was still $100 at the end of that night.
Yeah. Somehow.
Because you're buying everybody beers.
Yeah. That was 2011, 2012.
Dang. Well, also, the problem with me is, like, I enjoy drinking, but I want to have the most fun ever, so I just keep drinking. If I'm at the bar for like 4 hours drinking, I'm fine. Yeah. Once I get to longer than a 4 hour period, my brain just stops working and making quality decisions.
Yes.
You know?
The blackout period happens.
Yeah. Well, even if it's
4 hours,
not
is
that
a long time, dude.
Yeah.
We used to put in, I don't even talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you're the wrong place, then, because of the podcast. Yeah.
No, I mean, dude, I will say that, like, drinking has been one of the biggest struggles for me in this town. Like straight
it's
up.
It's a drinking town, no doubt.
Everybody wants to drink.
Yeah.
There's just reasons to every night if you want to.
Yeah.
And I'm not somebody that will ever come home. I never have. I don't think I've ever had a drink alone in my entire life. Yeah. Like, honest to God. Like,
same.
I'm a social drinker.
Same.
But I am, like, social drinker. Like, I had 20 drinks last night.
Yeah.
And, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And
that was exactly how I was.
Yeah.
Or
and
AM
I just,
or whatever.
Yeah. It's to a point now where it's like, you know, getting back in shape. Whether I, you know, to everybody else, like, they're like, oh, you look fine. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I don't feel fun. I feel sluggish. I feel, you know, run down, obviously just bouncing around. But dude, drinking, is the hardest thing in our business. Like, for sure.
Yeah. I honestly, like, when I was back in Pittsburgh before I moved down here, I had kind of slowed down. Like, we'd go to a brewery twice a week or once a week, you know, and I still had a crew that I would drink pretty heavily with. COVID actually upped by drinking some because we would get on like Zoom chats with each other and just like
you just be drinking on Zoom.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the few times where I was drinking alone.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you like
you log out and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, now I'm just drunk laying on the couch.
Yeah.
But dude, it's like weird to like go out like when you first stop and then like go out and like not drink.
Yeah.
And then you start like if you stay till the late hours of the night.
That's the hard part.
And then you're like, wow, is that what, like, and you start to see how everybody else is.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Literally, like, Red Door is like a zombie land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, like, like 145, 245. Yeah.
And then, like, I start thinking about me, if, like, I was used to go to Red Door, probably, like, say I was there, like, 7 or 8, and I'd be there till 2, like, that's a shift.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
That you're putting in. And then, like, the other side is, like, shows. Like, now, like, not having drinks before, like, I'd go on stage most times, like, with a slight buzz.
Yeah.
That's always me just like take the edge off. Like,
yeah.
Am I more fun when I drink, you know? And then now it's just like not drinking. And then you like actually see what's going on. And
yeah,
dude, it's a very interesting thing.
But how much easier is it to keep your voice? You know?
Voice. Yes. Feeling better. Yes.
Yes.
Also like huge part of me not drinking as much, if not at all right now is like the post drinking anxiety.
Yeah.
Like the next day.
Yeah.
Anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like a whiskey drinker with like Coke or Diet Coke. So then you realize like, oh, I had 15 whiskey and Cokes last night and that's like 15 cups of caffeinated pop.
Yeah.
I'm firmly addicted to Diet Coke right now. Since I stopped drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a beer guy.
Yeah.
So since I've stopped really drinking, I'm definitely crushing more Diet Coke. I had like a pretty bad headache the other day and then I realized it was from
you need the caffeine.
And I was like, oh, I got to slow down.
Yeah.
My dad always told me, he's like, if you're out and you want to, and you're at a bar and you want to hang but don't want to drink, he's like, just get like a soda water and put a lime in it with like a stir. And I've never had anyone.
People don't ask you.
No.
Be like, hey, you need a drink. Because if you're walking around without a drink in your hand,
100%
somebody's like, I'm going to buy you, you know, get you a drink. So,
I got one already. I'm good, man.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out to people that are not drinking, or if they're a good drinker and like they only, you know, they can have 5 drinks and shut it off.
Yeah.
People that know me, it's like, I was just like, and that's the other thing is you're the life of the party for so many people for so long.
Yeah.
So like to now say like no, and it is very, the power of no is very hard, but like it's me saying like, no, I'm not going to go do that. And people being like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, you used to be the person that would like
make us drink more.
Yeah. And the lights would be, you know, on, or you'd be having everybody at after the bar closed to your place. You know, it's like, and then now it's just like, no, I'm good. And people are like, what? And it's like, I have to learn that, like, that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, it's just part of growing up, I think, too, man. You know? Like, 22-year-old us.
Yeah.
Made those decisions, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's not even that long ago, but it just, I'm also, my career was not where it's at. Like.
Well, if you do something stupid in public now, people are going to know about it.
And it could be really good or bad for your career. I'm not sure. For some people, it's really good. So, you know, it's
other people not as much.
Yeah.
It's that's like one of the things that's been challenging for me too. Is the like we talked about of telling the same story over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. If someone asks you why you're not drinking, you're telling the same story over and over and over again. You know,
just like because I'm not always the greatest when I drink. So that's why.
Yeah, we've talked about that before too. Like. Bad moments, man. I mean, everybody has bad moments, mm-hmm. but mine are all involving alcohol too much.
Yeah.
You know, all my worst ones.
Big bad things happen around, you know, the whole like, don't stay at the bar past a certain time or whatever. And it's true because like those nights when you're like sober and you're in there, you're like, I would look like a zombie walker like that person is right now.
Yeah.
And if somebody says something stupid to you and then you get in a fight and then I have a black eye, you know, like I've been there.
Yeah.
Dude, I got punched in the face at Tin Roof, like you know, bad things happen.
Ouch.
Yes. Yeah.
Man, and that's one of those things too where it's like I always say this town wants to see you drinking but doesn't want to see you drunk. And if you can do that, God bless
you. That's a cool way of I never really thought of it like that.
Yeah. I have a very hard time doing that.
There's no drinking without getting and then it's different though. Like I can I mean, I'm learning a lot of different things, but you can have a glass of wine, have a steak, and have a good dinner, and just have a glass of wine.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Like, but. My buddy Eli, was his birthday a couple weeks ago, and I was like, hey, I'm going to come over to the house and hang out.
Right.
And, like, we hung out. I had, like, two drinks, like, got to actually, like, spend time with him. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, all right, you need to ride to the bar. Drove him to the bar.
Good for you.
Dropped him off. They did like 5 shots within the first like hour I was there. I was like, all right, y'all have a good night. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to spend time with my buddy whose birthday it was.
Yeah.
Cause I went over before and like they were actually getting haircuts. Yeah. So it was like, I just hung out while they were getting haircuts.
They're all getting chopped.
Yeah. We smoked a little, drank a little, you know, and then, I was like, all right, this is getting to the point where everybody just had 5 shots. If I wait another hour, it's going to be aggressive.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave while everybody still remembers me leaving, you know?
For now,
There's the drinking, drinking conversation.
Well, that's why, like, in the UK, a lot of the bars, like in Ireland, stuff close so early.
Dude,
it's like
midnight.
It's like midnight. I'm like, we play the show, we play until 11, and then by the time we get out of the venue and go, we want to get a Guinness, it's like everything's closed. I'm like,
yeah.
You have to go to a discotheque.
It's because they're rowdy there.
Yeah.
They just throw down.
They're like raised rowdy there for like millennia.
For sure.
Yeah. Dude, I want to go over to Ireland and do a songwriter event.
That'd be so cool.
We have our buddy Irish Dave. He's from Ireland, of course. And he's been trying to talk you into going over there for a while. We're actually talking about possibly doing an event in Canada, like a songwriter's thing.
Should.
Yeah.
Wait, I think we talked about that, didn't we?
I don't know if we did or not. See, we'll tell you about it after.
Probably because we're having.
I don't know if it's exact. We're going to decide today if it's going to happen or not. So, okay. But like we're kind of we're actually doing an event at the Rusty Nail too, called the Hermitage International Songwriters Festival at the Rusty Nail.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
We're just making it like Key West themed. Just
no
silly.
Way.
That's yeah, what, we're just going to have everybody. So we're trying to get a stage put on the sand volleyball court out there.
Oh my gosh.
And just be silly with it.
That was so much fun.
You know, like.
Did y'all go to Key West?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Kurt didn't, but Matt and I did.
I've been, just not this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first year I went was with Kurt and like we had a crew, dude. It was wild. And that was the year that BMI didn't go. So,
oh, wow.
Like it felt like a little bit more like
tight,
small and tight knit. And like now a lot of writers rounds and like people that host events in town host there, so I'm like, well, maybe we won't go next year, you know, like I want it to be special because we're spending a bunch of money being there.
It's expensive, like, getting there.
Yeah, it's just
you're
rooms.
Going at the exact same time as
everybody else. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, so, it's fun though, man.
It's so much fun. But that's what we're like talking about. Like we have this thing where we did last year at the Floribama in September.
See, that's a great spot.
Yeah, and that
dangerous.
Beach is gorgeous. Yeah. You know. And then we're talking about like possibly doing stuff in other areas,
right?
You know? So it's like, what do we want to spend our time out of town doing?
Hey, at least if you go to Canada, you know the conversion you're gonna make, you know,
make
30% on every dollar you spend.
See, that's what we were talking to Ben Chase.
Yeah,
who was like, Ben was like, dude, American dollar, you get a burger for like $2.50. The American dollar is so strong right now.
Not true.
And I'm like, seems crazy to me that it is because you know we see our economy kind of like. exploding down a little, but
it's interesting.
I mean, I guess still can't relatively speaking, it's good.
That's probably out of the realm of our expertise.
Economics. Now we're talking about
international economics.
So the stock market.
I was a poli sci major, but I haven't done that stuff in so long.
Yeah, I was a music major, so.
Dang. Did you go to college?
Kinesiology.
Yeah.
Dude, human body like mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
So,
thank you for like letting us know what those words meant that you said. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah. It's
just I've heard that word, but.
Yeah, it's just like the study of the human body in a different way. I mean, I thought I would be like a trainer or like a chiropractic or therapy or some sort of thing. So it's cool to have an understanding of it all. And that's, again, just like, you know that certain shit's so bad for you. So it's like, what am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Smart, honestly.
It's being smarter. And it's interesting. I feel like the younger generation, too, doesn't like drink or party.
They don't care as much. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't feel like, my generation of like the late, mid 90s, later 90s, like we still like partied and drank, but like this, like the new 20-year-olds and 19, like they don't want to drink.
They don't care as much. It's not culturally as big. Like when I was a kid, I mean, I'm 42. So like I grew up in the 90s. I wasn't a 90s baby born in the 90s. Right. Like I was in the 90s till I was 8, I have memories in the 90s. So our thing specifically in Western Pennsylvania, which is a heavy drinking area, was like, oh, when can I start drinking? At what age?
How do you sneak out? And
can I steal beer from that the fridge? Like, it was all that.
We'd be getting fake IDs when I was like 15, 16, because Canada's 19. So you're going to the bar at 16.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's wild. That's wild, man. Yeah. So you're like hung over to like sophomore year of high school or something.
You don't
the next
get
day.
Hung over when you're in high school.
I remember like
oh yeah. True.
Yeah. No, I straight up remember being like in the senior and just being like hung over.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, the teachers would know, yeah. But like, again, it's just culturally so different. It's wild the amount that culture has changed. Me and Kurt were on a road trip and we were listening to like, I think like the year you graduated high school, 05?
Yeah.
We were listening to 05 rap music.
Dude.
And we were like, you can't say any of this stuff now. No. It's wild. Say, just cultural differences,
Can't say much of much.
Yeah, true.
That's how it works sometimes.
We're like was it the Whisper song or and so?
Oh yeah, the Whisper song Yang Twins.
Dude, yes.
I was like, what is going on right now?
See, again, like I had a brother that was, sister 10, 12 years old. Yeah. So like I heard all that, shouldn't have been hearing those songs, right? but I knew, I mean, like Akon still to this day is like one of my favorite artists ever, but that was like cuz I was introduced to it when I was like, young.
Yeah. Well, so. That's like me, like it was grunge rock. And even earlier than that, like my brother's 13 and 11 years older.
Yeah.
So kind of the same range as you, just I'm older. So it was like I got the end of grunge rock and then, all the butt rock stuff and what can they consider that? And then
like what's
all
like the dude, I remember like fond memories. Like what's the, is it Nelly? Like it's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
Like I remember like buzzing across the lake with my brother and I'm probably like 6 or 8 and he's just got it cranked on like a stereo.
Yeah.
Like trying to like find girls out on the lake. I'm like this little kid. He's like using me as a tool to like pick up.
Like a puppy dog.
Yeah, literally like no exaggeration. He used to use me to like probably do that. But that's okay.
Hey, that's what
shout out.
That's
to
what
brother.
Younger brothers are for.
Dude,
Yeah.
Hey, go throw your ball over by them and then we'll go talk to them.
100%. I remember we were in Florida when I was like 8 years old. My parents, first time I ever got to travel anywhere. We went for New Year's, like Christmas, and my brother met a girl at a grocery store and I like was the one that like initiated it. I remember he like used me. You say the throwing thing, I think it was either throwing something or like I went up and asked her a question. He like came over and he like 100% used me.
Hey.
And then I remember he came back, we went back to Canada, and then he came back down for spring break and like I don't know if he dated her for a minute or whatever, but
they probably had fun times at least.
Sounds like a Luke Bryan title, like single for the summer or whatever.
Those EPs are great.
Yeah. Spring break. Yeah, that was great. All this stuff.
Oh yeah. What other than, so we talked about like Steve Earle, but like what other music were you into growing up?
I mean, definitely like rock music. I mean, we do the cover of Iris. Goo Goo Dolls is a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan. And then like you couldn't go somewhere Nickelback wasn't playing. So like I actually was a Nickelback fan growing up.
Yeah.
Same.
So
I told Chad, I said, hey man, I'm sorry for pirating all your music on Napster, like growing up. And I'm like, because we were all way into it. And he was like, you know, it's funny, Napster actually gave me a plaque for most pirated song Napster ever. And it was This Is How You Remind Me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't feel as bad anymore.
Yeah.
But that's part of how they got to be so big. Like, yeah. Now you have TikTok and you have streaming, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But back then it was just how many ears could you get on this music. To make
the still going to buy tickets? Sell. Yeah. Yeah. No,
and
that's true.
People were still buying albums because it was where we're at now is it is less work to pay $10 a month or $20 a month to a streaming service than it is to try to go out and try to find illegal downloads of the
song. Yeah.
So they've made it a point where it's there. Now it's like, okay, how do we equitably pay everyone?
Dude, it's crazy all that stuff going on too.
Yeah, it's nuts. And man, listen, like I think Spotify is a great company and they are trying to make money.
Yeah.
That's like people complaining about record labels trying to make money.
That's what everybody's
they're
doing.
They're in the business to make money.
Yeah.
They're going to try to figure out as many ways as they can to make their stockholders happy.
Yeah.
Which is going to be by paying less money to everyone they can, you know. It's just it takes some regulation to do that, you know.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
No, Nickelback was definitely fan. And then there's like Guns N' Roses and Metallica and all that kind of stuff. Metallica. That's all thanks to my dad. And then my mom was more like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
U2.
Yeah.
The good stuff.
Just interesting. They were like very similar in certain ways, but then very different what they listened to. So I like right now I can guarantee there's music playing in my house. My mom's always got the satellite radio on or some sort of music. It's probably me and it's creepy, but it's okay.
She'll call me.
I love it. Like it's so cool and I'm so thankful, but it's like, you know, she'll send a photo and she'll be like, look what's on satellite radio right now. And it's so weird to me to think like my parents are just sitting at home listening to me on the radio. But yeah.
But they probably have the biggest smile on their face.
It's so cool. Yeah.
My folks will like, I have like the most awesome supportive parents ever, but they'll go on YouTube and watch like clips from our performances or if we TV things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
100% live streams. Yeah. My mom is always asking like, is this show going to have a live stream? I'm like, I don't know, but we try to get it.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Well, it's cool, man. And they're so proud of you. You know, I know everyone that has done this thing, their family probably at one point thought it seemed crazy and it.
Yeah, it still is crazy.
Right. Didn't think that it would maybe work.
But yeah.
Then when it starts rolling downhill, man.
It's got to keep on rolling.
Hard work and passion.
That's it.
And you have it, brother.
Yeah, it's got to keep going. So, yeah, dude.
Well, anything else you want to like mention or talk about on here?
Dude, nothing. I just, you know, thankful for you guys and
thankful for you, bro.
You know, the whole town of Nashville, like, you know, the early on rounds that I got to do was because of you guys. And I can't wait to actually come and do a songwriter round. It's been a minute.
Oh, bro. We'll just have to have you play outside at Losers.
Yeah, see?
That would be sick.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah, no, I just, thankful for, you know, obviously Nashville and everybody. And, dude, just really looking forward to what we got kind of coming the next little bit. So I appreciate everybody.
Bro, thank you so much for being here. And
yeah.
Always being down to hang and rearrange and stuff for us. Appreciate you.
And congrats on the new single that's dropped by the time this comes out. New Me.
Go listen now. Appreciate you all.
New Me. Follow Josh Ross on socials. And thank y'all so much for listening to the Raise Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick D.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the Josh Ross.
Okay. All right.